Welcome to the TNT Hour on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. Welcome on this Wednesday edition of the TNT Hour. I'll be with you for the next hour, and we have a special guest with us today. He's been on the show before, as well as my Evident Footprints show. In fact, he's my scheduled Evident Footprints guest tonight, so if you haven't heard the show, it airs at 10 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, and we have great guests all the time, great topics. We talk about everything you don't hear in the mainstream and beyond. In fact, we debunk a lot of the propaganda and the mind control and our bogus history books. And we're going to talk about some current event type of issues today. And our guest is a journalist, and he has a fantastic website called justanothercoverup.com. And his name is Bill Cormier. Bill, welcome to the TNT Hour.
Good afternoon.
I know you've been working on some new pieces recently, and you and I had the opportunity off the air to discuss some of these things, and I'll let you open up the discussion if you choose to do so, because I know these things really got your blood boiling today. So
well, I think that what I've been working on today, and unfortunately, I just lost my last three paragraphs before I could publish it, is an article on the tasers, that the death toll is climbing from the so-called safe use of tasers in the United States. And people are getting tased for minor infractions rather than it being used as, instead of having to use a firearm, using a taser, which is what it was intended for, it's being used to torture, it's being used to intimidate, and it just all seems to be part of the emerging police state that we see that's rising up, you know, around us. We just had a man in Louisiana that was tased 9 times while he was in handcuffs, and they've determined that the last 2 times he was hit, he was probably already dead.
Yeah, you were mentioning that. That's quite a stretch of the imagination to even consider why someone would tase a person who was obviously incapacitated, probably with the first tasing, and you're saying 9 times. That's 50,000 volts. That's a cumulative total of 450,000 volts. I mean, you could turn a person into bacon with that kind
of electricity. Not according to Taser International. Taser International makes the assertion that multiple shocks of a taser will not harm an individual. However, we have more than 250 deaths now that are attributed to tasers, and they just keep growing and growing, and there doesn't seem to be any slowing down of it. Medical examiners in a police force where tasers are going to be put in, Taser International sends out a team, and they speak to the coroners and the medical examiners, and they discuss their product and how safe it is, so that in the event that something comes up, they're predisposed to know that it couldn't possibly have been the taser, that the cause of death must have been something else.
Well, what could be safe about any device that incapacitates a person to the extent that they lie usually on their back, or however they should happen to fall on the ground, and become immobilized, but usually exhibit signs of convulsions because they're,
oh, absolutely.
You know, it's got a paralyzing effect. And of course, if it's going to affect the muscles in the nervous system, it very likely can stop a person's heart from beating. So what is safe about that? I don't get that.
Now, well, there's nothing safe about it at all.
Yeah. As of, I think around January of this year, the total of death between the United States and Canada was at 309. And so you're bringing more cases to the forefront here. I'm sure they're fudging the numbers quite a bit, but what I know is
the numbers are fudged dramatically, because most medical examiners attribute the death to drug use or being intoxicated or anything but the taser. And then you have the deaths that occur in our prisons that we don't even hear about.
Yes.
Because they're used widely in the prisons in the United States, too.
And in the hospitals, too. You know, psych wards and that. When did this case in Louisiana occur, and do you know any of the specifics as to why this young man was stopped? And maybe it was lethal handcuffs. Maybe it wasn't at all the taser then, if he's been tased 9 times. And
he was arrested. I believe he was arrested on a cocaine charge. The officer was fired. And he was arrested on a cocaine charge. The officer was fired, and he's probably going to face criminal charges, because the medical examiners in this case did rule it a homicide, which is unusual. But when you've got somebody that had handcuffs on and was tased repeatedly, you know, I went through Amnesty International's site today, and I watched the multiple videos, which I'm going to be posting on my site, of, you know, a person, you know, refusing to sign a traffic ticket, which isn't any big deal. A pregnant woman, a person at a Best Buy store. It's just unbelievable, the people that are being tased, when under any other circumstances, no force would be used. The problem we have is we've given police officers a tool and told them that it's completely safe. And when that happens, I believe it has to do with the absolute power issue. You give an officer something that gives him absolute power. He can do anything he wants with it. He doesn't have to worry about retribution for it, because it's safe.
Well, that's an objective opinion, I would guess. This seems to be all over the country. It's not like in one particular location that this is occurring. And
no, it's not.
The abuse of power goes beyond just the law enforcement. Now, that's a tricky word, because if there is obvious what they like to call probable cause, which could be anything. I mean, you could have a hair sitting on your shoulder, you know, a hair that fell out of your scalp, and they could determine that that's probable cause. So, you know, how they're going to interpret that is one thing, but that they start out by meting out punishment and or torture. I mean, to be tased is to be tortured. There's
exactly.
No mincing of words here.
Exactly. And it appears to me to be a mass use of negative reinforcement, which is essentially behavior modification. And what people in the United States are learning is that if you argue with, or if you in any way challenge authority, you're going to get hurt. And to me, that's the emergence of a police state. I'm very fortunate. I live in a county where the police look like police officers. I haven't even been pulled over by one of them, but they look like police officers. I can drive 15 miles to two other counties that are close to me, and they're dressed in black fatigues, combat boots. Their hair is cut short where they look like skinheads. And when you look in your rearview mirror and you see an officer getting out of a car that looks like a Nazi stormtrooper, you know, it causes a little bit of apprehension to anybody that has someone like that walking up to their car. They don't look like police officers. They look like the military.
Mm-hmm. Or paramilitary. Yeah.
Yeah, paramilitary. They think they'd like to think they're military, but nonetheless, it is disquieting. It is spreading a certain degree of fear through people. And, you know, we have to wonder, you know, are they there to protect us or are they there to intimidate us? And right now it appears to be the latter.
Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Bill, to see that, you know, tasing someone nine times, I can't even imagine why anyone would go beyond the second time. Now, you know, you have these, you mentioned, you know, this guy was stopped for a cocaine charge. What was it? Was he using cocaine? Was he selling cocaine? You know,
the article actually didn't say.
Yeah, it's probably not going to say. In other words, they're just saying whatever sounds like probable cause. We already covered that, you know. It wouldn't
but what
matter.
What was interesting, there was one interesting fact of it, though. In this particular area where it happened in Winfield, Louisiana. They've used the taser 14 times there, and out of 10 of those times, it was the same officer. 10 out of 14. Now, to me, that speaks volumes.
Well, what comes to mind is the Rodney King beating a number of years ago. Some people are too young to even remember that. I happen to have been in California during that time, and it was obvious that there was a whole PSYOPs event staged around the trial. The riots were provoked, and you had these people going after innocent people. It became a race war is what it was, but it was all fabricated. It was all scripted, and the police just stayed out totally. They let the people turn on each other, which is an obvious sign of these black ops mind control programs. And, you know, it was a big experiment. They took an event where law enforcement was filmed, if you're familiar with that case at all.
Rodney King much so.
You know, he was stopped. He may have been intoxicated or on drugs. That is no reason to beat a person to within an inch of their life. The police were not qualified, and in the manner in which he was taken out of the car and beaten to a pulp with billy clubs by numerous officers, stomped on with their feet, kicked in the ribs and in the stomach and, you know, the head. The guy was beaten to a pulp. If it hadn't been for the videotape, one would have to wonder how much more that would have accelerated in other cases. And now they feel that, you know, they have a case take place in some obscure location in the country, and if people aren't aware of it, if people aren't paying attention to it, they get away with it, and they ramp it up a couple of notches. It's not an accident that this is happening all over the country. This is orchestrated. This is intended, as you mentioned already, rightfully so, to create fear. And the threat of physical attack by the so-called law enforcement officers is one method they use. The rest is mind control. So, these are efforts just to to keep us under the thumb of the New World Order and their plans to just turn the whole planet into a slave society, which it, for all intents and purposes, is already. The problem is that we're waking up to these things and we're starting to take a stand. They don't want to see that happen. They don't want to hear us talk about it. And this is why you don't hear about it on the news. This definitely would be it'd make a pretty exciting show for cops, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Is interesting is this did make the front page or the main for a few hours of CNN, which surprised me. It was their leading story, as a matter of fact. And that's a little bit of a surprise. There's starting to be some cracks in the mainstream news media, just small ones, baby cracks. But nonetheless, there's a little bit more information coming out than there usually is. And I think some of that has to do with the huge amount of commercial bankruptcies that are going on. In a fascist society, the corporations basically are married and control the government. And the corporations are losing out too. So you've got a case where the people that actually caused the problem are starting to realize, I think, that they themselves have gotten out of control, and if they're going to survive, they have to do something. And it's getting that critical. The dollar's, in 7.5 years, the dollar's lost more than 40% of its value. I mean, the economy is just twisting in the wind. We're so close. Well, we are actual bankrupt. And I'll be curious to see what happens when the IMF investigates our banks, which they're coming over to do.
Yes, and the World Court is demanding certain types of compliance with international law. You know, you have all of these tentacles, is all I can call them. It's like a big octopus. And while the attention is focused on one of the tentacles, there's another one reaching out to do something else. And these issues are all thought out very carefully before they put these plans into motion. They basically expect, or they've calculated what the odds are that a certain reaction is going to take place. You know, you have problem, reaction, solution. And so they create the problem intentionally. They always have a fall guy to blame it on, and it's usually somebody that doesn't even have anything to do with it, unless they're mind-controlled in the case of, like, the Beltway shooter, for example, or Son of Sam killer in New York. If they don't have someone like that that's actually going around committing murder, then they will have a fall guy. Tim McVeigh was the fall guy for the Oklahoma City bombing. Yet they carry out this masquerade of an execution and an investigation. And really, the purpose of why the building was bombed in the first place had everything to do with hiding all the corrupt documents that were there. Evidently, someone was about to leak some information on that, and they had to destroy the evidence. Because they could easily go in there with some Ryder trucks and just take the documents out and store them where they hide everything else. So there was probably something being about to be revealed, let's say, and so they perpetrate these acts. Now, the IMF has a big beef because of the amount of money laundering that's going on in offshore accounts and the non-compliance with Basel II, which is to go back to a gold standard. We've really been bankrupt since 1933 in this country, when they started seizing the gold and demanding that people turn in gold, and there were severe penalties. There was imprisonment and also fines attached to the penalties. What do they do with this gold? Well, this gold has been basically the foundation for all the corruption that's occurred since that time. And not to mention that since 1913, the economy has been created out of thin air. And we've never really been told the truth about how this is, if you create something out of thin air and give someone the opportunity to acquire wealth and to acquire physical things, material things, how do you compensate for that? Well, they give up part of the infrastructure. They give up our roads. They give up our territory. They give up our lakes. And then the services that people depend on, water service and electrical companies and nuclear power plants, and all of this stuff gets infiltrated by the network, the secret societies and their intelligence agencies and even their militaries. And they do this all over the planet constantly. Now it's no big secret that they want to take down the United States right now. And so they're going after the people. They're going after the rule of law, which is, it's as valid as the fiat money system anymore. In fact, the Justice Department is playing ball and is up to their scalps in the corruption, in the money laundering, in the illegal trusts. So you're not going to get justice by going to court against these people, unless you happen to, pull a needle out of a haystack and find one honest person that, permits, proper due diligence to take its course. And then to see justice. Until we start lambasting their email and their phone lines, and I'm speaking about congressmen and really all the politicians on a local, state, and federal level, people in that area should be outraged about what's going on. Shouldn't be one or two people. It should be everyone banding together, demanding that this stop. And there are ways to take effective action. So, when you hear the international aspect moving in to police these events, you've got to discern that this is a master plan for the whole planet, and that when the United States comes down, they can pretty much assume that they've got the whole world in the palm of their hands. For all intents and purposes, they do in most cases. With the exception of the fact that we can still defend ourselves as individuals. So, yes, this is very troubling, and I think what's most troubling is the fact that so many people depend on the mainstream media for their information. As many people as are using the internet today, there are still people who are not getting the picture that mainstream media is just mind control. It's propaganda.
Oh, I would say the majority of people don't have a clue. They know that something's wrong. They run polls. 82% believe that we're, the public believe that we're heading in the wrong direction, but they don't exactly know why. And, but to figure that out takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of reading. And when you get a society in a situation where both of the parents have one or two jobs each, they're struggling every minute of the day to try to keep food on the table and gas in their cars, it doesn't leave them time to do the research and to find out what's going on, because they come home, they watch a little bit of TV, they go to sleep, and they go back to work. I've got three sons, and I watch all three of them do the same thing. They're struggling to survive, and it's us older people, and never thought I'd hear myself say that have the time to sit down and do research and start connecting the dots and see what's happening, and it's up to us to disseminate that information to other people. Now, that poses its own unique problems, because some people, when you tell them the truth, look at you like you're completely out of your mind. I mean, they just absolutely don't believe it. And it's really hard dealing with people like that, that, you know, no, I don't want to read that. That's not possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, the best you can do in that case is, you know, thank them for listening to what they listen to and suggest that you're not asking them to believe anything. Do, you know, if you question whether or not what I'm telling you is true, you have at least a duty to yourself to determine whether or not it may be true. And that's going to require a little bit of effort. Most people are too lazy. They're still drinking tap water, you know, so they're dumbed down on various levels. And, we're really not responsible for those people. In the bigger picture of things, you know, you'll be honored for your efforts to awaken people, but those that are going to choose to stay asleep are going to have a different experience. And they'll eventually come to an awakening of sorts. It may not be the kind
everybody
that
is.
They like. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the awakening is coming, whether we like it or not. My gosh, we've got... What Covia just posted, a multi-billion-dollar loss, and it's happening, you know, in banks all over the United States, and more people in California lost their homes and were foreclosed upon this quarter than ever before. The economy is still in a downward spiral, and that has got to start. Most of anything else is beginning to wake people up. You know, you've got to ask yourself how the wealthiest nation in the world in 7.5 years went to being bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the village idiot couldn't do that unless it was planned.
Yeah. Well, there's just so many aspects to this whole issue, but here we have a guy who's accused. Of course, he didn't have a trial at all. He was tried and convicted and executed right out there on the street or wherever that was that he was apprehended. And then, you know, they talk about the rule of law and, you know, it's just everything's gotten out of hand. Well, you have a corrupt government. When corruption on the lowest level, on the local level, is allowed to occur, then you have total tyranny. Now, there was a time, if you go back to the 60s, if you can remember the race riots and these Ku Klux Klan type of murders that took place, the church burnings and these things, the federal government would come in and investigate. But that was just a show, really, for the rest of us, because where has it gone?
Nowhere.
They still do the same things. It's just taken on a different dimension. You still have these murders occurring. You have children being abducted and sold into slave societies or victimized, sacrificed, literally, like something you'd see in a horror movie. It's actually going on. There is
That's
no accountability. Yeah. There's no accountability in the government. And when it's the government doing this, we should be demanding some sort of accountability. We should, in our numbers, be coming up with some kind of a solution. And the apathy, you know, if it doesn't happen to you, then, you know, that's their problem. You know, they must have done something wrong or this wouldn't be happening. often these people are just randomly selected, or, you know, it's a question of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I wonder what the local community is feeling about, you know, this taser death that you mentioned. I wonder what steps they're taking, or is it that they're all under the thumb of this perverse type of authority that we're talking about?
Well, the community isn't very happy. There's, like I said, it's a predominant, from what I understand, it's a predominantly black community, and out of those numerous 14 times that the tasers were used, 12 of the people that they were used upon, I believe, were black. So there's a hint of racism in it. And, you know, if you live in Georgia, or if you lived in Florida like I did, they had an expression that, why'd you get pulled over? Well, I was driving while black. And there's just really a lot of truth to that statement. There's still an enormous amount of racism in the United States.
Well, the Los Angeles Police Department use a radio code when they're answering a call over some gang violence or some crime that's been committed. In real time, they're on the radio, and they'll ask who's involved, and they'll say NHI. And that stands for no human involved. And specifically, that means it's blacks. Now, that's their terminology. I mean, that's the sickness that has permeated law enforcement around the country. And that happens to be the same police department that beat up Rodney King. So that information gets out into the public consciousness and still nothing is done about it, is indicative of how serious this problem is. But at least on a local level, people should be doing something about it. People in that community should be, well, you know, I don't want to suggest violence. That's not what I'm saying. But they should not be very happy with this. And if it means recalling all the politicians that refuse to do anything about it, you know, they do have laws, I presume, you know, in that if it's a parish, just a small parish, it still doesn't matter. Now, some towns across the country, regardless of what you call them, have a board of trustees. When it's a township, they have people that are working on behalf of the township. And in many places, these are wholesome communities. And it shouldn't matter if it's a black person or a white person. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't even asked you that question, what the race is of this person, because it doesn't matter. It's a human being.
Right.
That's the whole point.
And, you know, it could just as well have been me or you or, you know, from, some, like I said, some of the many videos I watched today, it could basically be anybody. And like I said, I just believe that it's just mass intimidation, and it's working. I mean, there's another thing that's going on too right now, and people have to understand that. I don't know how it is where you live, but here in Georgia, ever since the economy started tanking, you can see the police officers out in great numbers, and any traffic violation, anything that they can do to raise revenue, they're doing it. I mean, you can't sneeze without getting pulled over. There's not enough money flowing from the government, so the municipalities are getting it the only way they can, through tickets and through fines and arrests and that type of thing. They're going to get the money somewhere.
Well, it sounds, again, it sounds like problem, reaction, solution. You see, the problem is the people that are out of jobs. Now, is that an increase in crime because people are stealing to feed their families or to stay alive? Or is it an increase in crime because people want to maintain the lifestyle they had when they had jobs? It's difficult to tell, but this isn't the first time I've heard anything in the past few days about what's going on in Georgia. And in fact, it appears that they're using Georgia as a test ground for a lot of this stuff. Now, New Orleans became a test ground with Hurricane Katrina. And it's been proven on many fronts that was weather engineering. There was an anomaly that came up on the NOAA site 1 month before. It was up there for enough time that people actually downloaded the page and the image of a hurricane and let's say a multi-dimensional type of imprint in the middle. Well, I shouldn't say the middle. It was more in the western end of the Gulf of Mexico, several hundred miles off the coast of Texas. And there were three color bands that showed up on the surface of the water when you see this photograph. And over New Orleans was a hurricane, exactly the image that appeared 1 month later when the hurricane actually hit. So this technology can be used, and of course that's difficult for people to accept, but look
well,
at
you're talking about HARP.
Yes, look at how many tornadoes we have right now, how many strange storms. You have snow in the mountains in the summertime, and within a day period, one day there were 67 tornadoes. This is weather warfare being launched or just descending upon our people. And it's explained as global warming. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. In fact, in general, that's a lie. If our temperature is changing, it's changing all over the solar system because of the same phenomena that are going on. So the implication that these are acts of God or that people are being crazy and they're having to ramp up the security to protect our country, it's all a lie. Where is their protection in stopping a person, even if they use drugs? Okay, make the arrest, send the person to trial, but give the person the opportunity to defend themselves, to provide witnesses, to have adequate and competent legal representation, but not for the purpose of getting the person in the prison because the prison is going to make all kinds of money. And then the state makes the money, and possibly the locality makes the money. People should be really upset with the fact that their jobs have been taken out, not are being taken out, but intentionally have been taken out.
Oh, absolutely.
This is part of their plan. And
we're being broke.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, as a nation, we are being disseminated. Everybody's losing everything. In Georgia in particular, in Atlanta, they've established a special task force, which is one of the first cities that's done it. Empty houses, for example, and that type of thing. A house is vacant, it's been foreclosed, and somebody goes in and steals everything out of the house, does $15,000, $40,000 worth of damage to steal $30, $40, $50 worth of copper, wiring. And it's happening so often that it's almost unbelievable. And that's how many houses are vacant and foreclosed.
Well, yeah, that's a popular crime at new developments. You know, they drop ship all of the building materials, and they tape off the property to discourage people from going there. And sometime in the middle of the night, they pull up with a whole van and fill it up, or you know, a moving van I'm talking about, and and steal all the building materials. And copper is one of the first things. So you can imagine if they're doing that in these homes. Not to mention...
It's horrible here.
I was going to say, not to mention the corruption on paper that's occurring, where these houses are being foreclosed. And, you know, if you really want the people to be able to make payments on the house and relieve yourself of these legal entanglements that could go on forever and ever, you would give the people an opportunity to pay, okay? If they don't maintain their part of the agreement, then legally they have the right to take them out. But when they illegally give these mortgages to a bank like Deutsche Bank, which is a German bank, and Deutsche Bank doesn't notify the owners that they have taken receipt of the property, and in other words, the customer has not been given part of the legal document, these cases, when properly handled, are thrown out of court. Why is this going on? Well, it gives them a money laundering vehicle, and it also gives them assets to get their hands on more cash. But they're not using this money to help us. They're using this money to help themselves, to keep covering up the corruption that's going on in hedge fund and derivative accounts. Not to mention all the other types of stock that they're playing games with. And it's all put into offshore accounts. The judges and the attorneys are involved in pure trusts, which are illegal. Their names have been brought up in court by litigants that are being criminally impoverished. What you're witnessing is criminal impoverishment. And, you know... I'll hand it to Alex Jones.
I'm the first to agree with you. There's I'm way down there on the totem pole. I'm on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as gas prices rise and as food prices rise and the income stays the same, something has to give. And that's anything and everything that isn't necessary. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not sure how much longer that I can go personally, and I'm no different than millions and millions of other Americans. No different whatsoever. You know, I'm not unique or anything else. I'm just, you know, just an average person that's on a fixed income. And the bottom line is those people are taking it the hardest right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's moving up the line, you know, because people like us are buying less, we're driving less, and the people that are well off that own their businesses are getting less business. My sons are in the service industry. People are tipping less. All across the board, everything's going down. And I think that we're reaching that so-called tipping point where people are starting to become outraged. They've worked all their lives for something, and it, for millions and millions of Americans, it's just disappeared up in smoke and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no way of recovering it in their lifetime. It's absolutely 100% impossible. And it just keeps spreading and getting worse. The middle class is being absolutely destroyed. So.
Well, let me ask you a question, Bill. Do you,
sure.
From what you know, do you feel that that's intentional?
I'm not, you know, I'll be honest with you that I'm not sure. I think that it may be. When you start adding everything together, when you start looking at, for example, the taser abuse and the militarization of a lot of our police department. People that are hurting are easier to control than people that are well off. People that are well off can hire attorneys. People that are well off or affluent can, you know, have a lot more power and a lot more punch. When people are losing everything that they have, they tend not to hire attorneys. They tend not to stand up for themselves. They just kind of slink off and hope it doesn't get worse.
Yeah.
And in that regard, you know, a lot of it may be intentional. But I think it's going to backfire. And I think it's starting to backfire right now.
Well, if you go back to the Bill Clinton administration, the signing of NAFTA basically was the setup to create the North American Union. Now, you make a comparison, you have this is the influx of illegal aliens has been going on a lot longer than what people really understand.
It's been going on all my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's been happening for a long time. Now, I'm not talking about normal legalized immigration. I'm talking about the intentional permitting of people to cross the border. And, you know, we had border guards, we have border patrol, we have law enforcement, we even have the military involved. And I hear stories from people that Chinese soldiers, and this is way back last year and even the year before that, probably past 3 years, a guy in New Mexico who lives well above the state line described a unit of some 3,000 or more Chinese soldiers. He reported this to Border Patrol agents, and they said they'd send somebody down. Well, they sent a military unit down there, and these guys were high-fiving and back-slapping, and it was a big joke. But these types of intrusions are going on. Who is permitting this? Well, obviously, it's permitted at the top of the government. So there is an agenda going on, and, you know, you're a witness to this. You put the word out to as many people as you can, and then people sort of forget about it. The media has everyone focusing on all these undocumented workers doing, quote, jobs that won't. Americans won't do, which is totally untrue.
I was going to say, what are those?
Yeah, what are they? Now, I'll tell you this. I was in Chicago recently, and none of the maids, save one, spoke English. If I asked for room service or for towels or something like this, they couldn't even understand what I meant. Why is it that people are allowed to be in this country working in jobs? I know that there's plenty of American women that are out of work in Chicago that would be happy to go to work in a hotel.
Oh, I agree completely. And I used to live in Emporia, Kansas, and they have a lot of meat processors there. And if it was tough getting a job there, if you weren't Hispanic, was, you know, close to impossible, unless it was management.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons for that, and that's paying lower wages, non-union jobs. They don't have to cover any benefits. They don't have to likely report any. Withholding tax, they're probably not withholding it, or if they are withholding it, it doesn't go to the credit of the workers, it goes to whomever decides that they're going to take that money instead. Maybe they let the guy keep it. It's hard to tell unless, you know, you conduct an investigation on each one of these companies and you have access to the records to find out who's working there. Would it be any surprise on the basis of what you said that the intention of the Trans-America Highway, what they claim is not being built, is supposed to make Kansas City a free port? It's going to be a Mexican port. So is there any surprise that everybody there is already speaking Mexican or, you know, Spanish?
Kansas City, absolutely.
Is it just Mexicans or Central Americans, South Americans? I mean, we can lump everybody into one group, but let's say illegal aliens. And because this company's got some clout, somebody important owns it, or you know, they have compromised the ownership of the company in some fashion. It's just allowed to go on. If you start putting the puzzle pieces together, you can see. Now, is it a coincidence that all the automotive manufacturers have moved to countries like China? Is it a coincidence that Walmart imports 99.9% of what they sell from China? Is it any coincidence that the people making those products that are sold here in America in China are slave labor?
It's not a coincidence. And you know, the sad part of it is there's a huge website called wakeupwalmart.com. Mm-hmm. I was writing about Walmart before they even came into existence. Walmart at one time was a boon to the American economy. People don't remember, you know, that Sam Walton, if you walk into a Walmart store, that everywhere there were these little tags and these little flags made in America, and he pushed people to buy American. Now, he was pretty rough on dictating prices and stuff, but he did buy from American manufacturers, and he bought nothing but American goods. And that's what Walmart sold, was American goods. When Sam Walton died is when everything changed, and Walmart is the one corporation that led the charge on outsourcing. And because of their outsourcing and because of their behavior, other corporations, in order to try to compete, had to outsource in order to try to match prices with them. You can sit back and you can trace it directly back to Walmart when they started outsourcing everything. The moment that a U.S. manufacturer would not agree to their price, they would outsource it somewhere else. Walmart is probably one of the worst corporations, one of the worst things that's ever happened to the United States of America. People forget what the company store used to be like back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're heading in that same direction again. Everything is consolidating and rolling around into one place to buy everything.
Yeah, what's really going on is these companies like Halliburton and the Carlyle Group are monopolizing these companies. They're buying them out. First, they're driving them out of business. Then they're taking them over and making them part of, you know, what they obscure out of the rest of what they do.
The fascinating part of it is we have laws against it.
Oh yeah,
they're
but you
book.
See, it's the lawmakers that are the lawbreakers.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
We should begin calling them our lawbreakers in Washington. That's what name them.
If the shoe fits, you know, you've got two or three or four congressmen who constantly stand up to the Bush administration and stand up for the rule of law. And you've only got the three or four, and what I believe is that there's three or four individuals that just happen to be squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
And if that wasn't the case, we'd have a lot more people speaking up against them. But ever since they started the illegal wiretapping, Bush got into the SWIFT banking system in Europe, found out who had all the offshore accounts. I forgot how many billions of dollars were spent in lobbying last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a ridiculous amount.
Bill, we're actually out of time, but fortunately you're going to be my guest on Evident Footprints tonight, and I think we can continue this discussion and get into some other areas. I know you want to talk about something coming up with Congressman Kucinich, but we're absolutely out of time, and we've got to allow the next show to come on the air.
All right.
So I want to thank you for being my special guest on the TNT Hour. I appreciate your insight and input into all these important issues, and we're going to pick up where we left off tonight on Evident Footprints. So I look forward to talking to you this evening.
Okay, well, you have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Folks, you have been listening to the TNT Hour. Be sure to tune in every Monday and Wednesday for the latest discussion and revelation in the news that the mainstream does not want you to know about. Special thanks to Donald Newsom for making this show possible. And I'll see you all tonight on Evident Footprints, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Bye now.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Take a journey around the globe on Odyssey Radio every other Monday at 8 p.m. We explore ancient mysteries such as Stonehenge, Easter Island, the pyramids of Mexico and Egypt, lost cities of gold in Peru, the mystical city of Machu Picchu, ancient maps of Atlantis, and so much more. We examine in detail the Sumerian clay tablets, which date back 6,000 years, and describe an advanced group of beings known as the Anunnaki. You will become familiar with obscure temples in Cambodia and the South Pacific and learn their hidden secrets. On Odyssey, we also learn about modern-day mysteries such as crop circles and the Mayan calendar. Join all the fun every other Monday at 8 p.m. Check out dozens of archives and ancient mystery DVDs at the Odyssey webpage.
Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Your host, Brooks Agnew, believes everything we do will eventually affect the universe. He's trying to do that on purpose each Sunday from